نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الحمد لله الوالي الكريم، وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين، والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد، are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it, and that He is alone and has no part, and that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universe. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend, and send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles, and on the Messiah, the anointed one, and on the Mahdi, the guide, and on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
We are walking in our own way. From there, we're going to be cheerful, sober, every day, of whatever demon is plaguing him out of his insecurity for that moment. The doctor walks in examining the severity of his emotional stability or insanity. Because this is one of the main things they say. You know, it's strange about serious illness, you don't recognize it. But yet, when they make a movie, they cast. So they can cast a character to suit you and I. They can find him and say, well, what? Denzel Washington played that part perfectly. Someone picked him and said, he'll pick that part perfectly. They can character cast so well that the actor in the movie can actually begin to convince you that they're really that character. So with that, they're admitting that they know how people think. They know what people see. They know what people want to see. In other words, they know the law of cause and effect. So how come they can't profile the serious thing? How come he has what they refer to as a normal attempt? Simply because he is not the mentally deranged individual who's a viper, who's been raised for a bear, you know, in skin. And some man rides a motorcycle and smoking drugs because he's not that. He's a doctor, he's a lawyer, he's a policeman, he's a fireman, he's a white collar and a blue collar person. And they always admit after they catch him that, boy, if you look, no, no, so they say, but look at him, you never think he's head going to do that. Who's thinking that out? After, now check the point. After he did it, after he's already killed all those people, somebody went right looking at this white guy and said, to look at him, he would never think he would do that. Isn't that after the fact? You should be saying, God, now we know what people look like who do things like that. The doctors and the lawyers and the teachers and the firemen and the policemen and the politicians are the ones that are doing all the dangerous things. The KKK is not a bunch of poor, black, country white folks walking out of the woods anymore. That didn't work. That stopped working in the 60s when niggas stopped punching them in their face. So they had to come out from under the woods. The ones who came in the woods now are a big bunch of they call fat top belly builders who want to hold on to the KKK image the same way you won't go back to your old neighborhood. Some niggas are still entering the farm. Some niggas are still joining gangs and gangs when I was 50. There's always that. Some guys still grew up in the hallway and in your mind. There's always that group of people, and that's what you're looking at. What does that mean? It means the devil is trying to stop. And the only people who keep the devil alive is you. You keep on pumping into his world, feeding into him. You got to withdraw, as it says. You're in the world, but it says the Bible, come out of her, my people, so you be not partaken of her iniquity or evil. It's still an evil world. Still seeking God in his world, still doing things in his world, as you see his world coming. A man shot a kid 5 years old and shot at 5 other kids and he's walking on national television with a smile on his face. Right? He's got some Jewish kids. The point is, why show it? Why show it? Why show his smile? Why put the thought in the mind of some other people? Why promote the thought? They could just as well mention the incident and never show it, and never gave an opportunity to smile at America like, yeah, I killed some Jewish kids, or I shot some Jewish kids, and I killed some black people, brother. Why would they give him a platform? Well, they're giving him a platform because they have this new philosophy, and it's called copycat. You know what that means? Usually when somebody sees some kind of crime, they go and emulate crime. But the reason why they were putting on television is because the next day, someone shows what you would have. Because he said it's time to kill you. And if some people sitting out with absolutely nothing going on between their ears, they wait to see what happens, and that's how it happens. And that person got up and went and got a gun to kill somebody else. They were hoping, they are praying for what they have been propagating for the last 20 years. You know what that is? A race war. Those Caucasians were putting away and stockpiling and weapons, training out in the woods way back in the 60s they were doing this. Living in the woods, came back from Vietnam with nothing to kill. So they started forming all kinds of groups like the militias, freemen, etc. And they've been waiting. They think there's going to be a race riot. That is the foundation of their doctrine. You know the sad thing about it? They said, go back and check their consciousness. They said before the year 2000. They preach amongst skinheads, the Aryan nation. They preach that there'll be a race riot before the year 2000. And what month are we in? How many more months they got before their race riot? Huh? Before January comes in, they got to get a race riot going between now and what? 4 months. Otherwise, their whole philosophy is crap. You know what I'm saying? It goes out the window as crap for the battling of some angry, racist, insecure people who have spent money stockpiling weapons, money training in the way of paramilitary training in the woods, setting up shooting lodges and accidents. But it's coming out, there's a lot. But there's no reason why. Because we're just not that interested. You follow? We've learned to adapt as a people. We've learned how to survive. And we're just not that mean. We're not as angry and vicious as white people. They cannot revolt us. They want a race of life. They've been preparing for it. And that's why they're doing the stuff they're doing. And they're going to do some more stuff. But they're hoping you and I get mad. People like Jesse Jackson have to be careful. Have to be very careful. But they think, if we get him, his people are going to get mad. And they're going to die. Or if we get him, they were hoping on the 29th that we're dying. And they're not desperate. And they say, well, this guy needs to have people that love him. Malachi, as we can threaten his life, his body will get mad. They don't know us. They don't know how we think. They don't know we see tomorrow before dawn. You're looking at God-fearing people who put their trust in the Most High first and know they're dealing with devils. Devils in human form. And I'm not the one that called them devils in human form. Jesus did. Jesus in St. John said, you are of your father, the devil. He's been a liar since the beginning. Here's something Grandma always said. God don't like us. God don't like us. And boy, there were some ugly people. They got some ugly souls. Ugly, but they don't have any souls. They got ugly spirits. They do ugly things. So we got to be able to turn, feel good. We stop. We regroup, we put our spirits together, we start to pray, meditating, and we stop fighting like these. We stop fighting that person, fighting that, and we started fighting with the mind, fighting with the soul, fighting with the spirit. We start fighting with God on our shoulders. And change around because we're dealing with people in the devil. And they can't deal with the power of God. They said we work with black magic. Well, we wouldn't work with green magic as black as we are, would we? And so is ours. And they're more afraid of us than we are of them. All we got to do is stay on the right path. Stay real. Stop breaking the law. I'm saying, keep your prayers up. Keep a positive vibe in your family. Get away from negative people. Keep that energy flowing. And there's nothing you can't do. I'm telling you now, we need it more than ever. Because the man who we trusted is losing power. We all have our trust in the white man and his system. And his system is failing him. What is he going to do on December 31st? What is he going to do? Question. I ain't care nowhere about what you're going to do. What is a man who has a button going to do? Have you thought about that? Some of y'all said, ain't nothing going to happen on the YK. Hello? It already started happening. We prophesied. We knew it was coming from 1970. We watched the calendar. We watched the stars. We saw the events. We saw the war. We had the diseases. We do it each time we get how not to get it. That's why there's so many of us that are here without it. Because we knew what to do. We knew when to fold. A whole lot of folks didn't know where to fold. They did it up. You understand? Why? Because somebody up there wanted me to be prepared. Are you prepared? Are you still in your system? Because his system is going to fall. No doubt about it. What are the police going to do? They don't have to worry about her and me. You know what they got to worry about? Them children. Them militia groups hate them more than they hate them us. We get arrested in peace. And I told you this on national television watching. They got to arrest a white boy. He's kicking and fighting and spitting down and everything. Right? They know their problem is not us. They got to keep the attention on black folks. Yes, let's go. Yes.
First, I'd like to say racism is CNC. I have a loved one who was exposed to TBC about 8 years ago. And I was told by the physician then that he will have insurance until like 2 years straight. Well, it happened that like every 6 weeks he has results, and he sometimes scares his family. Right. I'm never afraid of him, but he has such great respect for me.
I remember that.
Whatever you say,
it has a lot to do with whatever was given to you. But most of that is not for me. How much was given to you? Has he done it more than once? Was he done more than once? If I was, and this is because what these type of tell they drug you is they tell themselves to your blood system and they stay in your body and they just clear up whatever they wish. And there's nothing you can do to prevent that once it's in your bloodstream. I mean, transfusion, nothing, but it aligns itself with your body. You're going to have this episode. What you have to do is you all have to set up a pattern of things that stimulate and bring it on. For instance, let's say a bright red light may bring it on. You follow for an argument, may bring it on. A depression between a girlfriend, too much alcohol, even watching the wrong kind of movie or cinema that can affect your emotions and bring it on. The family who are concerned have to set up a pattern so they can predict what bring it on, and how long it stays, so they can set up a system of preventing him from hurting himself or somebody else. So you can know that what happens around every 6 weeks or so. And then you can say, now wait, Prince Johnson, he's going to start regretting about now. So you set up something that's totally opposite of what he's doing for him. He follows, he thought it was restricted consciousness from what his girlfriend or whatever kind of thing. But there's all things, anything that can provoke him, that your family system is actually imprisoned. But he got to be willing to accept that imprisonment. And that's going to stop. Remember that season of understanding. It's like a werewolf. And if you keep the werewolf of age when the moon is full, you don't have a problem. And that's what it is. It's in the bloodstream. That's what you can do. It can make an abuse part if you just go away from it. And you're it out. And it's gone. And that's what you can face. But until that time, you're going to set up a system that can challenge around black men. This is when you're going to start out. He has to be in compliance. Yes? Yes?
Well, I've read a lot of things from one of the big mouths up here trying to do in their future. Robots look like humans. And also, they talk about a spiritual computer.
Right.
What would it do? You know, like get information on spiritual outdoors and do something for you?
No, when they say spiritual computer, what they're doing right now is real fright. Because they have to learn that what they call matter is not the final state. And what they call atomic energy is not the final state. And what they call, now here's the deep part, is once they found out that atoms, the hydrogen atoms, what they have claimed is the lightest sum of energy for the last 100 years. Once they found out that the atom wasn't the lightest, and that they were quarks, and then after that deal, once they found this out, and what they have not done is always improve when he taught us about self. They would always compare a cell to an atom. They would say, well, atoms have a nucleus, and has electrons, protons, and neutrons. Just like a cell in the human body, it has a nucleus, and it has salt. If they became aware of the fact that hydrogen, which they thought was the lightest atom, is not, that there is invisible matter. Matter that does not have a sum. By that I mean the word we use, something, really comes out S-U-M-T-H-I-N-G. The sum of the thing. How something, what it amounts to. So they say hydrogen is the lightest atom or the lightest thing in existence. Once they found quark, they have to alter all the scales and all the way to get metrics or whatever. Because there's no weight for quark. There's no substance for the quark. There's no density for the quark. So it is actually a spiritual thing that they have confirmed exists when we hear they couldn't prove that the spiritual world exists. The acceptance of an element lighter than an atom is admitting that there is some existence, intelligence, that is not perceivable by any equipment that they have made today. So with that being related to energy, now let's go to the human self. So when they found that out, then they must have also found out that you need the lightest and the smallest form of matter. There must also be intelligent energy. So they confirmed the Ba and the Ka and the Ka of ancient Egypt. That there is a spiritual world. There is an etheric world, intelligent abode, that they are now tapping into with computers. Because they couldn't tap into it with the ordinary master in his mind. So they mastered it. So what they're calling these new spiritual computers are computers that will be given to detect or sense intelligence not perceivable by the human eye. They will be looking into ectoplasm and the spiritual world. Now what they don't know is the gate of the spiritual world. And when they open them, when they make this magnetic link, the the way you do with electricity. When you make a mistake and grab electricity, it has a thing. You grab it, it grabs you. And then it decides to travel from its destination and lose you in its path and zooms through your whole body. When they bite into this spiritual world with these computers, what they don't want to admit is that when it grabs, when they grab it, it's going to grab them. Now, do they know that happens? Yes. It's called the Ouija board. And they have admitted over the years, if you play with a Ouija board, you can open up a porthole or a gate to another side where you will be plagued with demons for the rest of your life. No, Jesus is not coming through the Ouija board, please. However, there will be people on the other side, disembodied souls, that will speak to you and pretend they're Jesus. And then tell you, you got to go out and save the world. You guys want to kill all those people because they take pride in having an effect on the physical world. These are people who died through the trauma, died in hate crime, died by brutal murder, and they're now physically trapped in this realm with you. They're called disembodied souls. Oh, you feel them. You feel them on the back of your neck sometimes. You feel them breathing. You feel it sometimes when you're walking. They step periodically into this realm by accident, but you know what enhances their presence? The adrenaline in your body. The fear. The dog also picks it up. Just like that dog to tell when you're afraid to go after you. Also, a dog can hear sounds you don't hear and see things on the level that you turn you don't see. And that's why they use dogs and cats in witchcraft, because they have a link to both worlds. Now they have to come to reality that these things are no longer, no longer the Twilight Zone. They're no longer the Twilight Zone. It's real. And now they're able to weigh the soul. They're able to detect through Kirlian photography the reality that if they clip off your finger, that something's still there. And they can pick it up with a camera. They can actually film it. Did you know that? Called Kirlian photography. Look it up. They can remove your arm and put it under a light. And you'll see your fingers and everything come right back in. Don't let it go on. This is a fact today. So they have to accept that there was something about that Bible, something about that Quran, and something about that Torah, which all came from the Egyptian writers. You understand? Something about that religion that they got from those Egyptians and their connection with the stars and their talk about the soul and the spirit and the intimate view, the body, the car, and the heart. Or the Ruach, or the Ruach in the Torah, or the Holy Ghost. There's something about the fact that Horus was known to be a falcon, and Jesus was known to be a dove. There's something about the connection between the birds and these two so-called divine children. And Horus being the son of Osiris, a god, making him the son of God and Ra, as Ra Harati, Ra the God, so he's the son of God and God on earth. In Egypt, something like 10,000 years, something short, before Jesus was born. Something about the fact that that's written on a wall, carved in a stone, kept in a tablet, locked in a vault, and kept in the bony cave of those few fortunate beings that have access to that information. There's something about that, you hear me? Something about the link between that information and why they want us to be everything but Egyptian. They don't mind us being Christian. They don't mind us being Muslim. They don't mind us being Buddhist. We can cut our hair and get those patches with an orange robe Atlanta. Damn airport in South Africa. Don't link up and take Egypt seriously. They fought against Dr. Benjamin for over 50 years as he tried to reveal how powerful Egypt was. Him and the power the Egyptians had once they start realizing there is difference. That's the first thing. First realization is, I'm not just studying Egyptology. I am an Egyptian. I know y'all are saying walk like an Egyptian, talk like an Egyptian. They did that too. They put that in your mind to turn it into a joke and away from reality. In other words, their present-day scientists have now come to face the reality that there is a spiritual world and that you are directly linked to it. Out of all countries in the Caribbean, all right? Which country is suppressed and kept the poorest? Haiti. Listen again. Out of all countries in the Caribbean, you're right. Which country? Why Haiti? Boudé. Voodoo. White folks by the hundreds of thousands go to Louisiana for the Mardi Gras, strip off their clothes, get buck naked, dunk drunk at a voodoo ceremony. Why? Because they're seeking soul. They're seeking contact with something. They know there's something missing because it has been. I could ask any one of y'all to get up and lock yourself in physically with those sounds. Not just, I don't want to just use the word dance, but that's one of the tricks. I don't just want to say dance. I want to say you can lock yourself in with that sound and keep going. You go into a form of ecstasy. So they create a drug for them. Teach all your minds to happy out. They create clubs. Bumping beats and have children spend from 10 to 4 in the morning in a form of ecstasy. Now, dancing with people. Going to concerts would stir a certain amount of energy that makes the kids bone rush to stay, step and crush people while in the state of. So they see that when we gather in groups and we start linking our emotions, things start happening. They made law, unlawful assembly. What does it mean? Three or more of y'all stand in one place is dangerous. What the heck does that mean? Three or more ethnics in one place on a corner is dangerous. How they automatically become dangerous? Because there's going to be some type of mental link that can take us to a state of ecstasy. And while we're there, we might happen to see a white person walk by and remember what they've done to us. And then out of the clear blue sky decide, I'm going to burn my foot in your butt. I don't know you. I don't know you, but I know what you have done to my people in America, in the Caribbean, in Cuba, Puerto Rico, even where. Africa, well, I know what you've done my people with. China, I know what you do to people. I know what you are. You are the devil. Now, I didn't say you're the devil just because I want to say it. I'm saying what the Bible says. Right in the beginning of Genesis, it tells you that there's going to be a hate, an enmity between who? The woman's seed and the serpent's seed. Genesis chapter 3, when it introduced you to the devil, why? I don't know, but that's who gave birth to you. You never told us about us who the same God. You gave people the doctrine of the devil, but they form a satanic church. You but you told us that there's going to be hate, enmity, jealousy between the woman who was Eve, power, whatever they want to use. what? They said, thank you, dear. Thank you, dear. It is all free. So the Bible admits to us in Genesis chapter 3 that the devil has a sin on him. Even though we're reading the New Testament, that's a lie. But the original language, did I? He has a seed. A seed is coming from reproducing, a beginning, a willing, a ula in Hebrew, willing in Arabic, to conceive a child. So the Bible admits in Genesis 3 that Satan is going to have children. And his children are going to be against Eve's children. And the description of Adam in the Bible is Adamah. Adamah, from Edomah, from brown, red soil, from the clotted blood. If you cut a person and you take the blood out and let it sit, when the air hits it, it turns back. So brown dirt, granular, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. So the original man, Adam, was black. You understand? And Eve was black. So if Eve was black according to the Bible, yes, and God said, I will hate between your seed, devil, and Eve's seed, and Eve was black, then there's a physical devil walking around on earth with us, having children when we have children. You hear me? The difference is, as much as we aspire for peace, we'll march for peace. We'll turn the other cheek. They aspire for peace. Racism, killing, war, they manufacture drugs.
How's everyone feeling tonight?
Fine.
All right, then. Where are we going to start at?
Revelation. Revelation got people scared.
Who has the mic?
I got the mic.
Who's on?
I got the mic.
Okay, go ahead.
I was reading Leviathan Part 1, and he was speaking about the International Trade Center, Wall Street, and the Empire State Building, and the Twin Towers going to be overturned. And then you quoted, which it seems like something you prophesied already, and they cried when they saw that place burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And on the next page, you talk about Sodom and Gomorrah being the twin cities. I wanted to know if you could give me a clarification on that.
Okay. As you all probably know, I've been trying to avoid dealing with the Book of Revelation. And in particular, prophecies that I myself have made that have come to pass the way they have. But we all want to really walk through it again. We have to start with the Book of Revelation, not with the 18th chapter, which is what you're talking about, but we have to start with the 17th chapter to understand what took place. And are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Revelation 17. And there came one of the seven angels. That means that there, as we all know, there are seven archangels. One of those angels come. The angel is speaking about now is the angel Michael. He said he's going to come. All right? Which had the seven bowls or bowls or cups and talk with me. This me is, his name is Yahana or Yahanan Bar Zebedee or John the Beloved, saying unto me, come hither. I will show you or be the judgment. Somebody else want to read?
I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters,
They were going to show the judgment of this great whore, symbolic of the female that rides the beast. It sits upon many waters. That means controls many countries. This angel was to teach John about the future. And this is back in the year 98, while in Isles of Patmos in Greece, after the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he's going to tell him about things that are going to come to pass, because that's what Revelation chapter 1 said. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? And it speaks about things shortly coming to pass. I don't get too long, okay? And
with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
If you look up the word fornication in Greek, you get the word porne. Say porne. Porne is Greek for pornography. Porne is in the Bible, in the Greek. They put fornication so you won't know. And I want you to know that pornography has its birth in America. America is the first country to introduce pornography to the world. You understand?
Uh-huh.
And the Bible is telling us, read it again.
With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication.
Now put the word in. Have committed themselves to
pornography.
I can go into everything from lust to explicit to revealing their bodies, but people come over here from other countries in their traditional garb, whether it is a kimono or a jalabia, and out of their clothes, they're in American clothes, and women got on short skirts and tight pants, and et cetera, et cetera. And they start living by the lust of themselves, or as Genesis chapter 3 makes it, they start trying to become pleasant to the eye. They lose sight of their own culture and traditions as they come here. You very seldom, if ever, see American diplomats visit another country and take off their traditional garb and begin to wear Chinese clothes every day. And then return back from China to America and continue to wear the Chinese clothes that they learned to wear while visiting China. However, people or rulers or kings from other countries come to America and pick up American clothes and American customs and dress, and then go back to China, and now you look at the Chinese diplomats, and they're standing there in American or European clothes. You with that?
Yes.
That's what it's telling us here. Go ahead.
And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication.
What is the word fornication?
Pornography.
And it says what?
And the inhabitants...
Those who live on the planet earth...
Mm-hmm.
Are what?
Of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her pornography.
By her lust. Go to St. John chapter 8. Verse 44, someone. What does it say? You are...
In John 8, it says, you are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do.
Hear that? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father will you do. Pornography, fornication, abominations are all done through lust. The devil's children, living not just in Europe, but living among us as us, use seduction as a tactic. Little girls dressed to be seen. They tighten their clothes to show their bodily shape, because they don't think their mind has a shape. They reveal their body and hope that some male will notice them. You understand what I'm saying? And in most cases, we men do notice them. And that prompts them to further dress exposing themselves. And it becomes natural to look at a video now
and see women up there more than half naked. So we are watching the average video, the acts of the people, the women rubbing on the men, the rump shaking is pornography. It has become a part of our everyday life. I'm talking about it because this is what's going to make it all fall. This is a tactic that the devil uses to top everything and everybody. Whenever he goes after any leader, he always talks about their premarital affairs or their sex life. Every movie he's talking about something pertaining to sex or booty. You follow? It controls him. And through it, he controls you. Because this was from his father, the devil. When the Nephilim came down here and they raped, this is Genesis chapter 6, and they took, it says, all they chose. They raped them. They were good women, told, as it said. Go ahead, read on.
Okay. So he carried away one in his spirit unto the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a woman set upon a scarlet covered beast, full of names of blasphemy,
mm-hmm.
and having 7 heads and 10 horns.
He sees a woman, and she's sitting upon a scarlet covered beast. This woman is called Elizabeth. They affix before her name the word queen, which means whore. Do a research and look up the word queen, and you'll find out it means whore. Are you with me? This woman in England, Devala, whose capital was once called York or Yorkshire, she wears a red scarlet robe. And her crown is decked with all sorts of precious stones. They call her Elizabeth, God's house. And she sits in Britain. Britain is from Hebrew, Brit, and means covenant.
Are you with me?
So they're telling you that the devil's empire is ruled by a queen who sits on a throne. Maybe you see the queen, she's sitting on 3 steps. And she's draped in a solid robe with all kind of jewels on it.
You see?
And it symbolizes her riding a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Let's begin. Which are kings and nations. This woman is a mother of harlotry and pornography. She moved through France to America, and the Orient of Euro Freemasons put her symbol in the New York, you see. The old Yorkshire, 1717, is where they organized their lodges to promote their devilishness, to worship their Luciferian, and took the original Moorish Freemasonry and changed it around and made it parliamentary procedures and gave it back to you and called it your handbook. We all know what I'm talking about. You see? All this took place in Britain. Now, they came over to America and went upstate New York, or the New York, and set up New England up near Albany. The state capital is also up there. Women? Washington, the District of Columbia, the District of Columbus. All of this is part of the pieces of the puzzle of a beast, a system that they set in place, that they rule the world by, or they think they rule the world by, and we'll get into that later. when it was ruled by a harlot, a queen, who has transported her power from Britain to America and gave America a charter. Right? And the women amongst them became known as Stars of the East. And it was a five-pointed star. An inverted pentagon or pentagram. Women? And this symbol, she stamped on the seed of the flag. The flag is blue, and every time they conquer a state, like Puerto Rico, they put a five-pointed star, boom, saying this land belongs to the devil, belongs to the queen. From sea to shining sea. And they have it within a square box because they are going to keep it in due bounds. You with me? All this was controlled by the harlots in Britain and later relocated, and they put the Statue of Liberty up. You hear me? And the Statue of Liberty is holding Isaiah 14:12, a torch in her hand, in the harbor of New York. You hear? And out of her head, there are seven horns. Are you there? And she has in her hand a book. And that book is the Bible, but it's closed. You see, it's like this. Because they are going to lay down, put aside, ignore God's word, and pick up their own words. They're not going to, never will, and ever try to live by the law of God. Not once. They want to live by their own laws. And as I said many times before, they'll hold you and I responsible, call us a criminal, if we pick up the Bible and say, I'm going to live by the word of God and not by the word of man. They'll call us a criminal. If I'm going to live by the laws of God and not by the laws of man, they'll call you a criminal. So she's standing there in a harbor with a Bible in her hand, but it's closed because New York does not live by the laws of God. Let me tell you what now what. And how you know? Or you folks in the country then. And y'all proud of it like I am. And I'm gonna tell you where we went wrong. When we get in the Bible and we deal with the story of Cain and Cain killing his brother Abel, we find that God tells Cain, I'm sending you to the land of Nod. What we don't do is we don't investigate the meaning of the word Nod, which would tell us something. The word Nod in Hebrew is Nud, and it means a vagabond, a wanderer, a drifter, an outsider. You hear me? Hear me now. So there are cities set up in the world today. There are cities, prophets of the land of Nod. Don't get back to Cain, just stay with me. Where a bunch of people who don't belong there, whose roots are not there, whose families are not there, migrate to these places like New York, California, Las Vegas, Atlanta even, Chicago, and they leave their home, and leave their farm, and leave their family, but God says, we should work by the sweat of our brow. That we should till the ground from which we were taken. We're supposed to be promised by God's law. But now we want to be lawyers. How can you be a lawyer who stands before a judge who's in flesh if God says, judge not, lest
be judged, saying the only true judge is God Almighty. You hear me? But these people find their way to these cities where everybody's jumping on. Because in those cities like Sodom and Gomorrah, you can get away with your devil. But not in your hometown, not in your city. Everybody knows everybody. If you do something wrong, you can end up with anywhere between 10 or 15 months for me in one day. Neighbors can beat you because we were all related. Sometimes we didn't look alike, but we were related. That was our home. Because that's where we belong. That's where we were reared. But the light, the temptation, we didn't have to go to it. He placed it into us in TV and then start luring us to want to go like zombies towards the city of God where people kill each other. But Cain said to God, the judgment is too great for me. Anyone that findeth me is going to slay me.
Yeah.
So people were living during the time of Adam and Eve in another city called Nod, and those people killed people. The Bible never says they didn't. The scholars and theologians say Adam was the first person on the planet Earth. The Bible never said Adam and Eve was the first person on the planet Earth. In fact, the Bible says contrary to that by the existence of Nod and by the fact that Cain can go there and get a wife and have children. And those people were killing people over there. So Cain wasn't the first killer. Because Cain knew about killers in the land of Nod in Genesis chapter 4. Are you with me? Somebody's lying to us. Fooling us. No problem. But he told him, a bad boy. Right there, where you see that word, look in the Hebrew, you see Nod. Before he even got to it, God knew that there were people out there. Where do you think the serpent came from? Huh? Where do you think he came from? The word St. Kong or Satan in the Bible is for ear, and it means hairy. Snakes don't have hair. Look it up, don't trust me. Saw ear, S-A-I-R. Under serpent or Satan, I mean under Satan. Now under serpent they have Nakash, which means whisperer. And this whisperer was a snake supposedly talking to Eve. She came over and said, yeah, he said, I ain't got to say, yeah, well, you know, God does know that he eat, the day you eat the head of this snake is having a conversation with a human being. We got a talking snake. Am I right? After the Bible says, if you're in the Word of God, that's what you say. You get outside the Word of God and become moolah or hoopla or whatever you want to be. You say it makes you feel good. Then you go follow the Word of God and say right to the Word of God. That's what it says. It says that snake talked to a woman. That means he spoke the serpent's language too. That brings in another kind of picture. I ain't gonna go there. I know he didn't never talk to Adam. Maybe Adam didn't speak his language. You hear me? But he walked right over her and he knew that she could speak his language and it wasn't no cursing. I wanted to catch on. And now we know that he was a wicked or subtle, conniving, sneaky individual who got in the garden some kind of way where he did not belong. Okay? Where did he come from? He just pops up. I thought this was Bible. He just pops up in Genesis chapter 3, right? Just out of nowhere. There he goes, boom. Now the serpent is more subtle than the beast of the field, because the Lord God has made him. Excuse me. Where did he come from? Now we do know about a land of people in Nod that killed people. And we do know that the devil enticed Cain to kill Abel. But God didn't do it. But God came and said, "Well, just do the right thing, man. Everything will be cool. All you got to do is look once you, we just clean this thing up. But if you don't, show over there, stand there in that doorway outside the garden. The devil's squatting down. He wants you. He desires you. And when you get out there, you're going to rule over him, which means you're going to become the devil. You're going to go out there to Atlanta or New York and set up your own party. Right now, you just want to go to a party. When you get out there and get in a party, then you start bringing out hell. We can have our own party. Now, you are becoming the devil and lowing other people out. That just means the devil will rule over you, and you will rule over him. Eventually, after a while, you're the one suggesting to your friends that they smoke the marijuana.
Yeah.
When you were first introduced to it by a black devil or a white devil or a green devil, devils don't have colors. They have purposes. Are you with me? So here we go again. The devil is talking to a woman because this devil and this woman spoke the same language. The language of Nah. But now the devil has a different kind of purpose when you look into the Bible. And all of this coming to your towers falling. You know what I mean? But that's right in the middle of the Sodom and Egypt, they call it. They call it in the Bible Sodom and Egypt, New York, or Babylon. The city of confusion. Well, why is New York called a city of confusion? Let me think. Well, this is hard. This is difficult, you know? It's not like there's people in New York from every part of the world speaking different languages on the day, so. Did I hear that somewhere before? Did God come down and confound the tongues so nobody could understand each other? So that they would do what? So that they would disperse and go in different directions? New York, everybody can't speak the languages, but they still stay together. In defiance of the power and the will of God. That's the city of Nod. They're trying to lure you to Las Vegas through advertisements. Come on out here. You know why? Because if you were to date undercover, quiet faggot, when you get to South Beach, Florida, you can get it out. Nobody don't care. Because everybody down there is undercover, quiet, in the closet behind the bill of fashion. You know, if you got something hidden down inside that you don't want nobody to know, hell, you can do it in New York. Don't try to do it in some little town like Gray. Where am I going to say, that boy got on high heels? Ain't that Willie Mac boy? That girl used to be a boy. Come here, boy, I want to talk to you. What the hell are you doing? Am I not? We're not in New York. You can go up there and change your name from Willie to Wilhelmina and nobody don't care. Nobody don't give a damn. And you please the devil. Satisfy his lust. Make his world happen. You give him another nod. Cain didn't want to go. He really didn't want to go. But he said, well, Cain, you kill, you go. Eye for an eye, tooth for, that's how you know that was God's law. You kill him, you go where killers are. He said, anybody that catches me gonna wanna slay me. He said, I'll fix you up. I'm gonna put tattoos all over your body. I'm gonna put a mark on you so everybody will know you. So now the children of Satan are walking around with tattoos everywhere. Tattoos on their arms, tattoos around their arms, tattoos on their butt, tattoos on their breast, tattoos on their ankles, tattoos on their lips, tattoos on their tits, tattoos everywhere. Tattoos all over the mob right there in Genesis is on these people as they leave home. But you better not do that in mama's house or grandmama's house. Because grandma said, what the hell is that, boy? What you got around your arm? Come here. Let me see that. What's that mean? Dumb mother. I'm telling you, folks that don't have a grandmother with a fast arm don't know what I'm talking about. Grandmother be talking to you, and you be hit before you know you hit. And you be 30. Grandma be like, I'll be holding you. What it for? Now we got people walking the streets, sleeves rolled up. because they got the mark of the beast on them. And if you ask them, what is that? It's Gothic. Gothic art carved on their arms. Well, nigga, you ain't Gothic. You look like a nigga to me. You ain't Gothic. What you doing Gothic? You know what Gothic is? Gothic is gargoyles. You know what gargoyles are? Demons. What should you see hanging off buildings looking down with hands and stuff?
Hey, works to the devil.
But they get lowered out there into those places, into those cities, because of the lust of the Father. And they add in there, when John is talking, he says, you are a murderer. It even tells you that when they kill you, they convince you or convince each other that they're doing God's work.
Sound familiar?
They can go and take people's lives and act like they're doing God a service. You know why? Because they don't really believe in God. They have gotten fed up with trusting in God. And that's why they try to take God's work in their hands. Because they don't really believe the people that they want to hurt, God wants to hurt. Because if God wants to hurt you, God will hurt you. If God wants to stop you, God will stop you. If God wants to stunt you, God will stunt you. Am I lying? God will send a tornado through your neighborhood and move everything it took you 30 years to put down in 1 hour. Bring it all down to nothing. I don't care how bad you think you are. God every now and then steps in and says, I am a jealous God. I'm going to have to show you you ain't bad and just crush you.
Quite as bad as all these.
Some churches got men preaching the gospel of Satan in them. And people say, well, why that church get caught by a tornado?
Well,
maybe you should check the preacher. Maybe God thought they were going to be in there that night and missed. You understand what I'm saying? He lures you into his city. He lures you out of your home. By lust, by partying, by a good time. You know what most kids leave home? Or you know why most of us left home? Because we couldn't do what we wanted to do in our mother's house. I couldn't come in as late as I wanted to come in. I couldn't bring no skank in the house and sneak it into my bedroom and play Humpty Dumpty.
All right.
Mother said, you ain't doing this in my house. If you don't obey the laws of my house,
yeah,
walk in the land of God. You pack up your little stuff in a brown paper bag, go up your nose, and you go on to Atlanta to get a job. You know what is one of the better excuses to you? You know what it is? It's in Genesis chapter 3 again. You know what it is? Desires to make money. I'm going to leave this little town. Because I'm going to go up there and get a better education so I can come back down and help the small people. Desire to make one wise. You pack up and leave your child and your people are suffering while you're up there in some big city getting tempted by the devil, meeting harlots, joining Greek fraternity, tattooing yourself, piercing yourself, calling yourself eyebrow parts, airing in your nipples. You up there doing all that on the pretense that you're going to leave your hometown to go up there so you can get a good education, so you can come back down to the little old town and help them out in Griffin. Lying devil. You left home to go join the rights of Satan, to participate in his devilship, where people won't question you, where you can get away with all kinds of things. Are you with me?
Yes.
I'm launching around that point because you got to know why things are happening the way you say happening over there. You want to talk to me about the Twin Towers? Yes, I prophesied the Twin Towers since 1979.
Right. That's right.
But I was crazy. That man is crazy. Don't listen to him. I got more telephone calls this week than I ever got. So I just cut the phone off. Call and you see and say, this line has been disconnected. You wasn't with me when you thought I was crazy, but now you want me to tell you what's the next thing that's going to happen in the world. I'm waiting for the Spirit to move me, and you waiting for what's that, Brian McKnight to move you. I'm waiting for the ghost to tell me this is the next thing to tell my people.
On Hot Story tonight, as the terrorist rebellion enters another year,
country's just not safe anymore. We've got to leave.
Into the deep dark.
The thing is getting closer.
That's the hospital.
Camps have been raided.
Merry Christmas.
No, you need to go somewhere!
Get
out
of there! Get out of there!
How
was
this
to get from there to there?
Protection that you need.
See
you then!
Checkpoint!
Can't stop
losing. You've only got enough
of them. Oh my God,
I will find you. You really want to get there.
I'm not getting on the boat without you.
What did you do?
Help, Mason.
What's going on? Mum's got to go. Are you related? No. I mean, take you.
We found a family for Alfie.
He's all I've got left. 6 years of May 2003.
It's today, happy birthday. Hope you made a wish. What are your parents' names?
Lily, I know this is hard. Can you tell me her parents' name? Lily.
So you want to be a pilot? What an amazing idea. I know it can be confusing. I know there's a lot of information and there's a lot of questions that you probably have at this stage about what it takes to either become a pilot for fun or become a pilot to be flying for the airlines in the future. So I created this course just for you. This is a free course. I wanted to share my knowledge. My name is Greg Reverdio and I've been in the flight training industry for almost 20 years now. I went from being a flight student, just like you right now, to being a flight instructor, and finally to be a flight school executive. I've been doing this my whole entire adult life. I have the answers to all the questions that you have. I've seen thousands of students go through this process and asking questions. So here it is, all my knowledge into one location, and hopefully this helps you make decision and fulfill your dream of becoming a pilot. So let me tell you how this course is going to be divided. The first thing that I want to do is I want to tell you about the types of certificates available out there. There's more than one, and people are often confused about what each does and why you need to get that certificate. I'm also going to talk about medical certificates because these are questions that we hear all the time here at Pilot Institute. I'm going to tell you how you can become a private pilot because this is going to be the first step in your aviation career. And then I'll tell you also the path that you need to follow to go past the private pilot and fly for an airline, for example. I'm going to give you tips on how to choose a flight school. I have a lot of experience with this because, well, I manage flight schools, two big flight training programs, and, well, I know what flight schools try to do to get customers. So I'm going to give you some insider tips right here. I'm also going to explain the difference between Part 61 and Part 141. You may or may not have heard these terms just yet, but I can guarantee at one point you will, and you're going to say, well, what's the difference? So I'll tell you in this course right here. I'm going to give you some tips on how to save money. This is, again, 20 years of experience of seeing people go through flight training, and I'll tell you how you can save money. The next thing that I want to talk about is how quickly you can become a pilot. Again, this is something that I get questions on all the time. And I'll tell you on a realistic side, I'm not selling you a dream here. Actually, I'm not selling you anything. I'm just trying to educate you on the expectations of becoming a pirate. I believe that expectations is extremely important. You have to have the right expectations before you get into flight training. Then I'm going to tell you about aircraft, the type of aircraft that are available out there that you're going to find at flight schools. And I'll tell you the pros and the cons, and I won't make a decision for you.
We have reached 1998, and right knowledge is reaching people all over the world. The Supreme Grand Master, Naya Malachi Zadok Yor-El, is truly setting the record straight. Now listen to these facts, the voice of truth in these last days and times. The Nuwapia Nation of Moors brings you the man of the hour.
Was it possible for Nimrod to build a tower up to God? Was it possible? Don't you ask me. So you belong to another school. Was it possible, according to their religion, was it possible for Nimrod to do it? Yes. I told you don't answer. Yes, it was possible. You know why it was possible? Because in their Bible, and God would not have to come down to stop them if it wasn't possible. Now, if God came down and stopped them, then he believed that it was possible. If you don't believe it, if the church don't believe it, God believed it, which is Talmud. And he said, I'm going down to see the city. They only tell you all about the tower. The first statement is the city and the tower. You see what they're doing down there. And he said, well, because they have their own language. It says this language. They have their own language. And they have this project they're building on. Look what they're doing. Nothing I can do. I have no power to stop them unless I go down and cause dissension. And that's what God says. I look down over the city and I see this city coming up. And I see a tower being built. Right? It's reaching to me. He said there's nothing that they imagine that they won't be able to do. What beings can do anything they imagine? And God only. That's where you start the conversation. He said, what being or beings can do anything they imagine? Nobody can stop it. And they will all say God. He said, no. Nimrod and his people. And your God said it in the 11th chapter. They did it. Now, Jehovah's Witness, if you happen to be with the Christian groups, Jehovah's Witness on Seventh-day Adventist, one of you who study the Bible, when you flip the Bible open before you get started, you say, let me talk about Nimrod. Say, Nimrod, was he a white man or a black man? Oh, he'll give you. Nimrod was black. And they'll say, right? The door with his books all of them. No, he's a black man. They say, was a black man back before Egypt and Babylon, building a city? Not one. They were building a city to reach heaven. And he had no power to reach heaven. There was a master building. The architect was black. Back that far, before the pyramids were being built, he was building that city. According to their Bible, that was before Egypt came, because Mizraim is Egypt. So you're going by that philosophy. According to that there, this guy built this city and this tower to heaven. He was going through the clouds in front of where God saw it. And they used that. But you tell us we ain't going to see it. You make us look like we're not going to run around naked and banging on drums all the time. But your Bible says that we built a tower that made your God scared. Your God. So, well, who's been? I thought he was your God, too. You know? I'm looking to the point over the Eno thing. Not over the Jebedee. Not over the Jebedee. And Nimrod is called a mighty hunter, hunter of God. He's looking for a mighty before the give all. Okay, Jebedee. Go back to Genesis 6. You find out there was some sons of God became mighty men. They did not subscribe to Talmud. They did not read the Torah. They had their own tablets. They had their own book. They had their own concept of God. And that concept was that they were all God as long as they all stayed unified and worked as a body. As long as they had a master craft of work.
that master craft of the ship was the building of a city and a tower that scared the god of mythology, scared the god of Islam, Christianity, and Judaism, to the point where he didn't go by himself only. He went back and got the voice and now let us all go down. And these people were so profound that they predicted what the God of the Bible would do before he did it. They said, let us build a tower to reach the heavens to make a name for ourselves, or else he's going to scatter us. And then he said, let us go down there and sit their tongues up and scatter them abroad. They mentioned it before he did. So they predicted what this God was saying in heaven before he got to earth. The tower was real close if they were listening. They were that high up where they were actually listening to God. But they would make you think Nimrod's a bad man. But Nimrod, his name is Quran in Islam, as we taught. It means to rebel. They don't say, who was he rebelling against? Huh? They don't know. They don't know. Who was he really? His name was Sargon. S-A-R-G-O-N. That's his real name. The Bible gave him the name.
Yeah,
the same way the Bible gave Kedmon the name Adam. You follow that? But they have to get their record, their genealogy of Isis, Genesis, in order. And they finish Genesis 2 and say, not a head, a host of the heaven and earth are finished. And we say, what are you talking about? So when God said that they be light, what was he saying? What's the Hebrew word for light?
Ord.
Huh? Hebrew, not Arabic. Ord. Ord. Anybody in the Bible says, let there be light in Genesis, look it up, you see the word you are. Ord. There you go. Now, when they say, let there be light, what might they have been doing? Were they building heaven? Or were they building a city? It was a city that Abraham came from. Same word. That same word. They said, come on, man, let there be light. They were bringing about the city of Ur in Chaldea. Another one of the Babylonian cities of the God Nimrod. Christians think they were bringing about the sun, which we know had to have already existed, because God saw that the gold was good in Genesis. And the gold was good, you need the sun to produce gold. So there had to be gold here before that. So now what were they talking about? Yes, once you learn the meanings of this, the real meaning behind the stories in the Bible, you get a whole other story. That's another level of information you got to go to. First of all, you got to, well, we're there. First of all, you had to get this fundamental crap. Start getting a picture of this God and this Allah and how unimportant and weak he really is in relation to us, unless you're taking a name and applying it to the right code. Because if you base it around what the Muslims call Allah, he's just the oldest person. Allahu Akbar. Kadir. Akbar. Old. Now, I can further say, it's a Kadir. How old are you? Ayus is another slang word, but the word is Kadir, the age. Akbar, old. He said old. That's the ancient one. Al-Awl is older than Akbar. The name of Awl, Allah's name, the first is the older than Akbar. Because in order for you to be the old, you have to be younger. So you could be first. When you become the oldest, Allahu Akbar, without you having passed or have been El Awl. And how would you decide that you're the oldest? How can I be older than if he don't exist? How can I be the first unless there are others equal to me to be the first one? You understand? Because if there's something coming after me and it's not equal, then I wouldn't be the first of them. I'd be the only one. And that's why Muslims get confused with Allah being Ahad and Awad and Akbar. And they don't bother anything. Well, faith, mom, believe it. You question it, it won't hurt you. But when you get right down to the fine, when you get into it, you start like a doctor taking it apart. You start seeing how shallow it is. and they'll lose control of the people in life, and they'll start running back towards the darkness. They run back towards the darkness. What happens? You sit down and think in darkness, because the people around you are bump into darkness. The light it produces the fascists, the fascia, the chaos, the trouble. That's why every dollar bill, every building, every courthouse, every church, now they got crosses with a sun on. And all the dollars on the coin to the sun. All of the gas stations across the country use the symbol of the sun. They're depending on the light. But they weren't here in the gospel. And then you find out that the Dogon, as I explained, and let's set the record straight, when the child is born among the Dogon, they walk through the cave. When they come out, they come out at night. The first thing they look up and they see, beneath the foot of Orion, they see the Sirius star constellation. The first thing you see, that's mentioned in their Quran, because it's going to test the actual star, the dog star. They explain that. Explain the zodiac in Quran. They already tell them Saint Job and about the Pleiades and Arcturus, and they want to talk about other stuff. They can't address the true meanings of these manuscripts that were put together by these Anunnaki for these people to govern you, give you laws. But only for those amongst you who have chosen to be men. That applies to women. There's no gender here. For those amongst you who decide to become gods, you become a problem for them. Because they can't defend their God. And they believe their God should be able to defend himself. Or that their God is beyond the need of defense. That all beings. When you step forth and you start questioning them about God, the significance of God, the power of God, the abilities of God, the inconsistencies of God, and most of all, the errors of God, say, what do you mean, what Stevie Wonder is born blind? Is he an image and likeness of God? If he is, are God blind? You know, I mean, this kid over here is born without a brain. Isn't there two Siamese twins born as one? There's already two here, so that can't be an image and likeness of God. And how come Siamese twins ain't in the Bible? Blindness is in the Bible. Normal abnormalities can be found. But the abstractions, they don't mention. How come? How come they don't mention elephantitis in the Bible? They might have. Or if God didn't have that information. He didn't know what Siamese twins were. So if he had to address it back that far and have to explain it to an inquiring mind, he'd be stuck. So the Bible avoids it. What else does it avoid? It avoids most of the animals on the planet. It makes mistakes and calls bats birds. The book of Leviticus says the bats and then food we can't eat, and it says, and a fowl of the air, right? And it has bat listed. It never mentioned the fowl of the earth. Understand what do you mean, the fowl of the earth, Doc? Birds that don't fly. What are they? They're not even in the Bible. The ostrich, the most powerful symbol of ancient Egypt. Why don't they have a mention about it? Where's the chicken? No, he's there, but he's not mentioned as a fowl of the earth. They have the fowl of the air. That means you fly. You see what I'm saying? Hamsters are not in the Bible. Rodents are mentioned. Camels are there. Horses are there. Donkeys are there. But the miniature horse ain't mentioned. Oh, roaches are there. Yeah, roaches are in the Bible. We bought them. A couple of us. They say all of a sudden you don't believe them all. And they said we created roaches. They said you go to niggas, there's only roaches, right? We created the roaches. Why deny? Why deny? Let them make the mistake of saying niggas created roaches. One of the most powerful, unstoppable forces of insects on the damn planet. Uncontrollable. We did it. They were taking back. If you approach things the right way, and it metamorphosized from little roaches on into big ass roaches. Flying roaches. Now, what did you create? We created roaches. What did you create? Now, we created anything, we're God. So, if everything that they take to make bad, just reverse it and make it good. That's like you locked up in jail long enough to have roaches for pets. Have them named and everything else. You understand what I'm saying? They wouldn't be so bad then. They'd be the only person you got, or only thing you got to talk. In other words, our concept of deity and their concept of deity is wrong. We got to stop being afraid to stand up for our concept of deity. Our concept of deity is not a deity affair. Father, I'm going to be scared of you. Oh, the top one. Brother, you need to talk one. You need to pray of the Lord. I don't need why. Why don't you scared of God? You not want to walk up your door with open hands and feel the most comfortable, the most warm, the most loving feeling. What to worry about? But if, once I meet the Lord, he might burn me.
Right.
Depending on his mood.
Right.
So worse than that, depending on certain actions that I do that I couldn't have done if you didn't give me the nature. Now they get mad at you. Christians, I could not have committed any sin.
That's good
about me. We're over here. There's no sin that anybody could have committed on this planet, whether it was Jeffrey Dahmer, who they have claimed 8 people, or suicide cult, where they all were encouraged to go commit suicide, or bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki for that matter, or the creation of AIDS for that matter. None of these sins could be committed if you believe God is in control of everything. The start there is God in control of everything.
That's right.
And then the next question is, how long has God, I've said this, been in control of everything? I want you to think about this for a minute. How long has God been in control? Was God in control of everything in the 17th century? Yes or no? Yeah, according to them. We're talking to them. Well, God had controlled everything in the 16th century. Yes. So anything that happened after the 16th century, in the 17th century, God is made happen. Right? So then, if God didn't make cars, there would be no cars. And God was in control in 1917 before God. And God knew everything before it happened. So God knew that he was going to let God be created in the minds of his creatures, and that they were going to go out and drunk and drive and kill innocent people.
Hmm.
And he let it happen. Was God in existence before the gun? Did God, as the all-knowing, know that some man somewhere was creating guns? Did he know, as the all-knowing, that some man or some fool, some wife, would leave the gun in the house and some child would pick it up and shoot his baby brother or sister?
Yeah.
And he let it happen. Come on, Christian, tell me why. Come on, Muslim, tell me why Allah let that happen. Yeah, we can't because we're God. They can't because they're men.
Just
believe. That's right. Now, how many things in life can you go back to and view God from a different perspective? How many places can you see him wrong? What is it? Plane crash. God around before plane?
Right. Yeah.
What else?
Volcano.
Huh? Volcano. Around before the first volcano erupted, like you hold a belch in the right place. Could he just let this? Yeah, I can't belch. I just meant this today. I don't. You belch backwards rather than belch forward, so you don't want to look like a pig. Your God, you have the control over this body at that point because it's a voluntary function. So obviously, if you can control the belch, belch is falling to voluntary. Get that? Yeah, can control your heartbeat totally. So that falls into involuntary. So then God must have also laws of voluntary and involuntary. Those things which I allow man to create to construct, that are constructive, I volunteer, I did it. But those things that I allow man to create that are destructive, I tell you, they were involuntary. He did that of his own free will.
Oh.
I don't know why it's called free will, but I ain't paid for it. But you tell me, for all the things I've done on earth that's evil out of my free will, I will pay for on judgment day. So it's not free will. It's a big price for will. they can't think like God. And you better learn to think like God. Because only God survives earthly calamities. Mortals die. Gods live on. Pharaoh's death. Not that we live on. It's the Andy speaking. He just gives you everlasting life. But he died for your sin. Open contradiction, blatant stupidity. When you take on the role of God, you say, I am God. Then that's the supreme God there, Malachi. That's our supreme God. I ain't no problem with it.
Right.
Well, how do y'all worship him? Did I say I worship him? I said he is the supreme God. I'm a God. He made me a God.
Right.
So he was here before me.
Right.
So he's the first. He's a power. And only way he could became the first, if I was standing here by myself saying I'm God, nobody acknowledged that, I'd be all by myself, like a law. Allah needed people to acknowledge him as a law in order for him to be a law. If nobody acknowledged him, he'd be just saying, I'm a law. But they gave him the attribute the first of God. And the Jews used it too, Ahad. Same word, one. Same one. And make it clear that you should have no other God before him. Which makes it clear this other God can't get in front of you.
Right.
That's what before me means, standing before me. Other God can. Well, Pharaoh was a God, and Moses was sent by a God, Exodus 7, to add a God before a God, to show how powerful the God is that sent him. Well, I'm a God, and I send you, Moses, as Elohim, to the Pharaoh.
Yeah, well,
that's that kid in their Bible they can't see. And you say, well, we know God. And God has sent us as God against you men to test your God. Well, no more staffs and serpent tricks. Let's save that for Las Vegas. David Copperfield. We're going to come from mind to mind, talking text. Not the sleight of hand, but the mind. Let's talk about the power of God and what God can and cannot or will not or should and should not have done. He should not have allowed any man to conceive in his mind of God. Are we in favor of the reality that it would have been to man's advantage now if he never had done?
Yes.
So the whole world of anybody who agrees with that agrees that God is wrong for allowing the gun to be made. You understand that? And anybody here who's lost a relative in a car crash believes God is wrong for allowing the car to be made and for allowing the mind to conspire to put together the crack. Yet not knowing that it's addictive is poison. God gave man his intellect. That's what we say. First thing God wanted was intellect. That's what we said, didn't we?
Right.
So now you're like, hey, the love. The first thing, he gave us our intelligence. They all say he gave us free will. So do we have free will? No, hell no. We want to say we don't have free will because you say you gave me free will. And then if I decide I will not to worship you, ask you to burn me. I thought you said I had free will. If I had free will, I could say to you, guess what, God, kiss my ass. And nothing should happen to me. Don't lie and say to you, first, God gave you free will so you can make your own decisions. Okay, what are my decisions, God? I don't believe in your ass. Better yet, I believe I can go to heaven even by commission, God. That's my
free will.
And you have already agreed that you gave me free will. You can't change your mind, but God doesn't change his mind.
That's right.
So here we go. All the devils going to heaven. Because that's
free will.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're not ready for that. What's sad about it? We ain't either. Time is running out so fast. Next message comes inside here. And it's going to happen in a show of hands. It's going to happen in honesty or dishonesty. But it's going to show right here. I talked to y'all years ago about ascending and descending here. I said amongst us there's agreeable and disagreeable people. Right? A lot of y'all know 17 months from now, the system is supposed to shut down. And Windows 98 failed. All of us have computers know it failed, and it was supposed to solve the problem. You may not have thought about the reality of computers shutting down, but I just touch on some small things like the pumps that run the water in your house, the generators that run electricity in your house, the street lights, the train, the plane, all of them are run by computers, the hospitals. Prisons, okay, they're locked in though, they're safe. All these things can be affected in less than 17 months. Bill Gates doesn't have an answer. Bill Gates does have an answer for it. He actually, we talked about that just before I came out, he's actually the richest man in the planet. Correct? Wow. So years ago when I told you about Billy Graham, you understood that Billy Graham, that Billy represented the ghost. Right? And the gates represent the orbit. The gateway between heaven and hell. Nobody's asking what happened to the kid who was born on 2006 or 1996. Bill Gates was around that age. No one knows. We talked about his number, his number 6. Because computers configurate us here. Binary figures is 1 and 0. And adverse forces is 6 is 9, adverse forces to 9 is 6. Our number is 9, his number is 0. And they're both based on the number 3. Triad of life. All religions, all beliefs, all logic. We said 3. Ready? What's the next thing? 6. What's the next one? So we got the root of the 3 triad. And then we have first one, which is 6. 6, followed by 9. All right, add on 6 more. 15, what is that? Add on 6 more. What is that?
3.
Add on 6 more. What is that?
9.
Add on 6 more. What's that? No. All right, get back 30. What's that? Add on 6 more. 6, add on 6 more. I can keep going. We have prostitution legal. Gambling. What else? Drugs. With Tupac. Murder is legal. Murder in Pomeroy. This is a city of evil. It's lit up. It's bright. It's full of gaudy women, tight skirts and short pants, fancy niggas with diamonds and gold and gambling and drinking and all the stuff that the devil wants. Disney World was created by a guy named Walt Disney, typical American. He just wanted to create a family theme park based around a cartoon called Mickey Mouse. Was it based around whores, prostitutes, and drugs and alcohol? It's a family place. So there's going to be two kind of places. There's going to be Six Flags, and there's going to be Kodesh and Wahani. That's Wahani and Kodesh falls in with the Disney World. And I know many of y'all, not you here, because y'all come up and down, and one of you out here want to use this stage strictly for music and partying for them. They want to bring Las Vegas here. What's happening in the hearts of our people now, and take the message back, right, is a split. There's demons amongst us. Wearing the feathers and everything, can't trust them. They're in your house with you. They're thinking pot. They make excuses for your pot. They think it's all right. It's all right for us to take the money that you work with your husband and use it for some people. You know what I'm saying? Right, go chasing any girl in the street falling around. Okay. Go to the party. They have a club. They have a club out on the land. Why can't we go out to a club? This is a club on the land. People are coming in. And they leave. They leave with Egyptian impression. When you're going out there, people go around. Let me do what we're doing here. There are people right among you. And they're turning their heart. Some people are dreaming. Some people are dreaming. Fun. Like how much fun I haven't had yet, where I haven't been, how to spend, how good time with Sean, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be here. See, you know, it's happening amongst us right now. Many are called. Few are those. They're coming into the countdown for those who realize that this day was going to come. Now you're going to find right amongst your own people, essentially, in your own law, if you want to call it, right inside there. Two people there, one person from the sign of the courage, which is the wrong thing. And make it look like it's right for me. It's okay. And people are going to listen to them. It might even turn on you. Turn on you for trying to do the right thing and make everybody think you're wrong. So we all going down like this. 3 weeks from now, it's a spot. I can't make it. We're going to do so-and-so, we're going to, you know, see pop another time. I can't, man. That's a mistake. Man. You always got some excuses when you're going to stand in front of him. It's your fear. There's war going on between me and Joanne. My host and... My host is infiltrated by his host. Some of my hosts are being swept up and taken in to his host. This guy might be a good man. Start socializing with the wrong man. Takes him on to the wrong place. And then slowly but surely, he starts to like the flip. He starts a transformation from that 180 degrees of agreeable to 180 degrees of disagreeable, and then slowly 360. I don't ask if anybody to understand. Go ready. Sit down and watch all four. Make everybody you know sit down and watch it. Stand. S-T-A-N-D. And you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll know why Stephen King and Steven Spielberg and Melvin in the movie with him.
That's right.
So these two people got together and put this movie together.
Exactly.
Remember the movie now?
Yeah.
Remember Mother Abigail?
Yeah,
Mother Happy Girl.
Yeah, Mother Happy Girl.
Flag. Yeah,
Flag. Yeah.
Don't tell them all. And those who listen, go watch it. Then they'll say, we understand what you're talking about, Father. But we have now reached that point. Yes. So what should we do with this? First of all, the key word we use here is association. associate with. Realize that they are there, like Nadine. And there's not a time as some people's souls are inclining towards spiritual. You better watch the media. You better go open a store and get this information out there before it's too late. Anyway, we want you to sell books to make money for us. Money ain't going to be a damn thing in a little while. But the bank is going to close again because the banks are also ran by the damn community.
Yeah.
If they don't ever solve that problem, y'all got a mess on your hands. I'm not doing no damn much about how many souls you can save before it's too late. So get out there and get the people. They can go take it the other way. If you're missing the point again, then you deserve the guy. You deserve the fight. You keep on missing the point. With all the knowledge that we've been given in the last 5 years, we have more knowledge poured down to us in organizations that have been around for 30, 40, 50 years. They don't know. People all over the world are starting to be touched by the God, by right knowledge. The most amazing thing, you don't think the force, but this is real. You can barely see it. They kill many of y'all snatch them feathers off. Quick. Pop the feathers off. Those people are friends for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, a month, and all the feathers disappear. Just like that. Nobody wants to identify. Nobody wants to go out there and say this is me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Hi. And then you got people saying to me, what are we going to do? Doomsday's coming. What are we going to do? So I thought you had confidence that the Antichrist was coming. I thought that's what it was all about. Why are you panicking now? This computer shut down. What do we care?
Right.
You wasn't in their world and out their world, you wouldn't be having that damn problem. But we don't have time for that crap. Time for your message to people. Message you better understand is taking place inside your lodges. People sitting there, they call them black devils. Not because they're born to be black devils, because they have succumbed to the temptations of this world. So ATM gave them books and stuff, and now they got more money in their hands than they ever had before, and they don't understand the power of the dollar. You have a protection that's sitting on the back of the dollar. A new name is on the back of the dollar, looking right at you. Right in front of you. You think it's a coincidence who's silver dollar bill is perhaps that's who we on? Did you know about that? The new coin dollar bill that's coming out. Next year, it's going to have Satya Kuya on it. Satya Kuya. Just the Satya Kuya of Ben Yor. Two Egyptian deities are here. Anuit corrupted. An is Anu's name.
Right.
Anuit is a female deity direct under Ra, which is the fear that's equivalent to like saying Ishtar. And Nu, that's like saying Andrew and Star right here. What this is that a bunch of words for Cyprus, for Peter, for Rock, for Bird. The eye is surrounded by 3 points. The three again. The three sons. You don't think they believe in the three sons? Yeah, they believe in the three sons. They teach you about the three sons every day in their life. They call Jesus the son, they call the soul the son, and then there's a that one there, the vital life source. The other one is supposed to be the spiritual source. And you're supposed to be the manifestation. The three principles of the great life. And they take you back to ancient Egypt. And they say, well, tell us about Hatun, Atum, and Amun. Tell us about those three deities. Every one of them had Ra affixed to their name. You have Atum Ra, Aten Ra and Amun Ra. They wear the three Ra. What? Yeah. They identify the three cities. Memphis, Heliopolis. I know it's Karnak. I'll have to say Wasser. Wasser, because that's the name they use. I can't think of English translation. But those are the three cities of the three great gods. And they traveled down Egypt. You know, they call it Ptah and Mari. They had Ptah and Nisib. And then they go down to Nubia. These are the three cities as the pharaohs moved down, or which is really up the Nile. They brought down with them the ascension of God going down. You know, in your Bible, God said, down there to the children of Israel and set them free. All he did is left from Upper Egypt to go down there. But that was going from Sudan towards the Mediterranean. Down and up there. Put everything back in perspective. Put the planet back where it belongs. Fall for 20 feet of reaction. And down is up and up is down. Egypt is down there. Once you ship up here now, 20 feet of reaction. It's all by this much. Put it back under there. Egypt is already here. Egypt must come down here. Then ends up in the Congo. The whole thing shifts. Let me put it back. What point are you at now? May 5th, 2000. 5-5, 2000. What do they say? They're saying the planet Earth will be on this side of the sun, and seven other planets will lie on this side. And the gravitational pull is too complicated to stress the planet. So what's happening at the start to happen, we're starting to have more volcano eruptions, more tornadoes, more earthquakes, more landslides, more snow crystals. The Earth is already falling and things are close. So things are starting already to happen. What happens to us? Israelites say that people have hands all along and laugh and walk away. And I say, what would happen if the prophet black man is destroyed? All the time we go back to the sun, we love the star, all the time we're lying, the concept of faith, their father, his faith, called faith, beyond faith. And I say, ha ha, and I walk away. What do you mean by that? You have no place to belong, I'm saying. What do you mean? What would happen if the prophet black man is destroyed? All the planets will be drawn back towards the sun. Because we are the magnetic attraction of the universe and the system.
We created lives that are in the physical
realm. Energy no matter will be destroyed when we change the planets. That's what would happen. This is impossible for the black man to be destroyed. But that term, black man, means five men, not the little five men. And what will happen in the year 2000 if you are not in a God-like state? The black man would have been destroyed. He would have been broken. I think my brother was saying, black man is on the endangered situation list, whether you know it or not. And then, you know, what do you mean by that? Well, look at him. Very black man. Very few. We're not black no more. You're genetically bleeding right out. This is a concentrated effort by giving us the wrong impression of beauty. It makes us pursue things that destroy our beauty. Father told Abraham, marry Tom, to the size of family that you may know each other. That doesn't mean when you see a black man or white woman together, it's your turn to start picking on them. Because then I would say that you're in doubt. Because then I'll be saying you think you know better than me. Because if they brought them together, they love each other, and then he must have another black man. Her genie with white skin may be stronger than yours with black skin. That's a genetic fact. But you're harboring four generations in you. Calm down, right? Just because you have dark skin and nappy hair, it doesn't make purer than someone with light skin and lazy hair anymore. Because you are you, your mother's mother. But sorry, you're you, your mother, your mother's mother, your mother's mother's mother, and your mother's mother four. You are you, your father, your father's father, your father's father's father, and your father's father. Four generations sitting there. You can't look at a person and say this two light skin people ain't gonna have a dark skin baby or another person. You can't do that no more.
Right.
So we are destroyed. And so we are reaching a point where it's possible for all the planets to be drawn back from the sun. Because on May 5th, 2000, we admit that the planet is not able to enough people to go on us in 1991. And we had all those flying saucers in Mexico, they said that's a sign of the thunders. The Earth is going to change. Earth change. Oh, y'all must be New Age. Just one. That is a hell of a confidence to be called New Age. It means something new is coming in, and I'll be a part of it. down in Judaism, Islam is old age. What did you say? Give me that old time religion. They're going out, something new, a new age, a new era coming in. So they want to make new age look bad. So they go out, put a bunch of crystals in their hands, act crazy, do things that devil, commit suicide, and it creates a stereotype of what new age is. So me and you come and say, no, we're the children of Aquarius. We're the new age of Aquarius. The sun cycle. We look like we were old. So you mean like those crazy people who walk around with stones? No, well, they plan their stuff. They run up ahead of us and create these scenarios. Follow? We ain't gonna do a heaven gate. Okay, a bunch of crazy people dressed in black committed suicide. We walk around dressed in black. Everybody there, y'all must be a part of heaven gate. They create the scenario for us. When we get to do our job, the block. People start saying, oh, you must be with so-and-so. The moral science devil out of Washington, D.C. is trying to have a million-man Moorish mosque now.
Think about it called a wormwood.
make me the captain of the dog. You see, they're dying out. The policy is shifting. Find that mistake. Have you noticed right behind your nose is dry? There's a funny feeling up there? Lingering, almost lingering mucus. You're sick already. You're already sick. You're not going to get sick. You're already sick. Poison in the air. Foods are messed up. Bacteria are already in the back of your body. You ever notice how water takes it? Hmm? Why? There's a turkey that's like poison. Not because they put it in there, because of nature. It's time to get rid of the parasites that are destroying her. You're one of the parasites. And Christianity, we're getting old down with this bullshit on our mind. Preachers don't go near. Islam don't have an answer for it. Islam has a law of our planning. No answers for these scientific facts that are not mentioned in their Quran. But they don't have no story for you. You usually got things, you got a whole big dialogue about what's going on until you come down to this type of stuff. Then why did the Quran warn us about these plagues, these thunders, these diseases? Why did the Quran, why did Allah, the all-loving Allah, warn us about AIDS? And for the book of Revelation and the book of prophecy, why didn't it tell us about the book of AIDS? Why didn't it tell us about AIDS in the book? It didn't. Mention the plague. We align and said, okay, this must be gold eyes, this must be cold eyes, this must be, you know, hoping that we solve it by pinpointing them. Don't worry about any results. In reality, get it? You got a message to take to people. That's the crap. And look inside your own camp. There's going to be a lot of dissension. Christians, good. Muslims, get good. It's all over. What their religion is declined, but they have no answer. You got the answer. So Pop gave us the plague, gave us the solution. The solution is that transformation. When you take your inner you and let it dominate your body. As long as you're in love with this body and the physical world, there's no hope. Understand? I'm not telling you to commit suicide at night. Let's do it at all. The ball is saying it's time for transformation. It's going to be applied so that all of our sport is a thing out there. Don't the big man is squared to walk around the board. At my age, 53, that's all I got to do is spend an hour walking in a circle. No, we got to realign ourselves. I'm serious. We really got to be involved with our inner self. You understand?
نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الوالي الكريم وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين أما بعد Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it and that He is alone and has no part And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of his prophets and his apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer. Which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.